Fresh Air producer Sam Brigger. Shelley's latest album is called Over and Even. If you'd like to catch up on Fresh Air interviews you missed, like our interviews with writer Jay McInerney, actor Michael K. Williams, and comic Ali Wong, check out our podcast. You'll find those and other interviews. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, and Thea Challoner, who is busy today preparing for her wedding. Congratulations, Thea. I'm Terry Gross.
For NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Squarespace, an all-in-one website builder and domain registrar with Whois privacy and other.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to a Juno afternoon here for Thursday, the 4th of August, the year 2016. Jeff Brown here today. Today we'll be talking with Matt Robeson and Ron Somerville about the Golden North Salmon Derby. We'll talk with Ray Vidic about this week's Building Healthy Families workshop. Kent Chastain will be here. He's the featured artist for August at the Juno Artist Gallery. And Nancy Naturny will be here at the Arts Hub. Matt Writer's Almanac. We're no music and more today on a Juno afternoon. Tonight at 7, U.S. Intelligence Squared in the U.S., the President's Constitutional Powers is the subject. And at 8 o'clock on Alternative Radio, question, what's the matter with the Democratic Party? Well, the forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with low temperatures around 50 degrees. Friday, partly sunny skies with high temperatures in the mid-60s.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Two men are charged with drug offenses in South Dakota. They worked with the Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe on plans to set up a marijuana resort. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says the men were hired as consultants by a Colorado company to help grow and distribute the drug. Jackley discussed the charges Wednesday at a press conference. Aaron Myros reports.
Jackley says Eric Hagan is charged with conspiracy to possess more than 10 pounds of marijuana. Co-conspirator Jonathan Hunt is also charged for alleged drug offenses. In June of 2015, an agreement was made between the Flandreau tribe and the consulting company Monarch America to create a marijuana operation on the reservation. Jackley says at the time there were about 600 marijuana plants at the facility. Eventually, the tribe destroyed the crop for fear of a federal raid. Jackley says plans for the operation extended beyond tribal lands, impacting non-tribal members.
This went beyond the borders of the tribe. When you put together a plan, an open plan, about consumption, about producing upwards of 300 pounds of marijuana a month.
Paul Lewis is the state's attorney in Moody County. He says he hopes the charges get tribal officials to reevaluate their stand on marijuana.
This morning is a clarion call from the people of the state of South Dakota to the executive council of the Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe to reconsider their efforts towards moving forward with an adult playground for marijuana ingestion.
Future court dates are scheduled for August 15th. For National Native News, I'm Erin Myros in Sioux Falls.
The Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe did not respond to calls for comment about the charges. The U.S. Board on Geographic Names determined earlier this year that 13 sites in Oregon's Grant County would drop the word squaw. It aligns with the 2001 state law banning the word for public areas. As KLCC's Brian Bull reports, a county official hopes the federal government will allow two place names to be used over those proposed by local tribes.
The federal government has approved Weewanite Creek and Weewanite Meadow for two places formerly containing the word squaw. But Grant County Commissioner Boyd Britton says he'd like the feds to review and approve a couple alternates. He'd like to see the sites named for the Solons family that have been in the area since the 1800s.
We don't have anything against Native American names whatsoever. We just want it to be authentic with historical, geographic relevance to it.
Breton says if they can use Solons for a couple of sites, they'll be fine with the other 11 new and approved place names. But despite earlier suggestions, Grant County is unlikely to sue the feds over the issue.
I'm not going to waste the county's money trying to chase a windmill, so to speak.
Both Britton and tribal officials agree that taking on the federal government over the matter would be an uphill battle. And Chuck Sam, spokesman for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, says he's just glad to see the word squaw gone. He says it's an Algonquin word carried over by settlers traveling west to the Oregon Territory.
Along the way, the word has been subjugated to more morphing in a derogatory or obscene way in describing Native women.
Grant County officials expect to hear from the U.S. Board on geographic names later this summer on their proposed alternate place names. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
The Sundance Institute is highlighting a group of Native artists who have been invited to join the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. This summer, five alumni of the Sundance Native American and Indigenous program received invitations: Sherman Alexie, Adam Beach, Cliff Curtis, Heather Ray, and Taika Waititi. According to the Academy, 683 artists and executives were offered memberships for their contributions to motion pictures. A reception will be held for new members in the fall. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Since 1970, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues like treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to listener-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTO and KRNN. I had a report of a lost cat in the Flats area, small, gray, long-haired cat, responds to the name of Luna, and it's got a collar with a bell attached to it. So if you've seen Luna, give me a call at the station at 586-1212, and I'll put you in touch with the owner. Our guests in the studio for the first part of the show are Matt Robeson and Ron Somerville here to talk about the 70th annual Gold and North Salmon Derby. Thanks for coming down the station, everybody.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
70th annual. Who's the person that's been fishing the longest?
Of the two of us? Actually, Dick Garrison, who passed away this last year, was the longest. He'd fished in every derby except last year and, of course, this year.
For people who don't know what the Golden North Salmon Derby is, can you fill them in, please?
Well, it's, as you said, a longstanding tradition, and what happens is we, for a three-day weekend, have people catch salmon, turn them into the territorial sportsmen, and we sell those fish under a permit from Fish and Game, and the proceeds from that, plus the tickets for the derby itself, contribute to a fund funds scholarships for graduating high school people and also some vocational scholarships in southeast Alaska.
And this is August 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Actually, it's, yes, 12th, 13th, 14th this year.
What are the basic rules?
Basically, there is a defined area in the Juneau area where you can, after validating your ticket, which you must purchase, and every fisherman on board must have one of those tickets, you go out and fish for 3 days. You don't have to stay out for 3 days, but you keep your fish in the round, ungutted, but in a good condition by keeping them in a cold slurry of water and ice. Bring them back, turn them into us. The top 70 weighed fish win special prize packages. The rest of the fish are turned in as so-called scholarship fish, and they are sold along with the heavy fish to our one of our sponsors, Alaska Glacier Seafoods, and they buy the fish. That's our money to go towards the scholarship fund, and they use that in their fish processing line.
How much money is it we're talking about as far as scholarships go?
Well, the scholarships themselves for graduating seniors for a four-year undergraduate program are $12,000. That's not in one chunk. You have to qualify each year with a certain GPA but it amounts to $12,000, which is a nice help to kids and their parents. And the vocational scholarships are somewhat less, and I believe they're based on basically a proposal. And they're probably ought to mention, we put out a supplement in the newspaper every year, and that brochure is available at our ticket vendors, and in there you can actually see what the scholarships are that we've given out this last year to five deserving Juno students.
Over the years, what's been the biggest fish caught?
Well, 50.9 by Doc Hedges. It was in the paper here Sunday, or Tuesday, or Monday. Yeah, he caught that, I can't remember the year, but he considers himself the world's best fisherman because he caught the biggest fish.
Speaking of great fishermen, do you have any suggestions or some advice you want to pass on?
Well, yeah, there's one of the things you learn in fishing is you got to put your time in. It's like anything else. You've got to get out there and keep something in the water. If you don't drag anything through the water, you're not going to catch any fish.
What are some of the prizes?
Well, kind of leading the prizes in terms of the potential reward, we have two so-called high-five games this year. The first is sponsored once again by Hecla Greens Creek Mine and Core Alaska Kensington Gold Mine, and they are offering a high-five game that could end up with a $50,000 prize. And the guaranteed minimum prize for the person who's chosen to be that to participate in that game is $500. So that's a pretty sweet prize. This year also Bullwinkle's Pizza is funding a $43,000 potential high five game in honor of Bullwinkle's 43rd year in business. And the minimum prize for that would be $430. There are 70 prize packages from dozens and dozens of Juno businesses and individuals for the 70 heaviest fish that are turned in. And then there are, I think, 15 special prizes and some scholarship prizes where, through various mechanisms, you could be chosen to win something if you turn in a fish of any size at all.
What do you mean by potential?
For the high-five contest?
Yeah.
It's a game of chance where the person who's chosen for that through, in one case, scholarship tickets are handed out for every fish that you turn over to territorial sportsmen except for the heavy weighed fish. We choose randomly from those, and if you happen to be the ticket number and you answer at the awards night, you go up and you are presented with a whole bunch of sealed envelopes. And if you pick five envelopes that say $50,000, in the case of the scholarship ticket high five, that's what you're given. But it's more likely because of the way the envelopes are, the numbers of different cards at different denominations, it's more likely that you'll end up with $500, which is not too bad. But there's a descending level of four different prizes, the high being $50,000 and the low being $500. And then the Bullwinkle's high five is for anybody who buys a Derby ticket. We're trying to stimulate ticket sales to fund our scholarships. And so even if you don't go fishing, if you buy a Derby ticket, you're in the running to be chosen to participate in the Bullwinkle's high five. And that could land you $43,000 if you pick the right five envelopes.
Wow.
Yeah.
We also have a prize by Mendenhall Auto. I thought I might mention their Hondo Dream Garage special prize. And if you get a fish between 19 and 19.9, you have a chance of winning up to $21,000 worth of merchandise.
Now, this is the 70th annual Golden North Salmon Derby put on by Territorial Sportsmen. Ron, can you please tell me what the Territorial Sportsmen are?
Well, Territorial Sportsman has been around for one long time, obviously, if this is the 70th. But if you look back at its history, it's a conservation a sportsman type organization sponsoring a lot of events around Family Fishing Day. We've worked on things for with the Forest Service cabin construction. We've worked recently with the state park system to build cabins for them for public use. And we've also heavily, we were involved in putting a tram across Seymour. And so there's been a lot of those types of projects. We support the shooting sports here in Juneau. We shoot the Boy Scouts. And it's just a whole host of outdoor type activities that Territorial Sportsmen. And yeah, very heavily involved in legislation. We spent we were the prime proponent through our legislation this last year. It got all the conservation groups together to increase license fees for fishing game, sport fish and wildlife. And they hadn't been increased since 1993, so we felt pretty good about that. It took us 2 years, but we were successful in helping that charge.
Do you have any personal stories or stories that other people have related to you about the salmon derby?
Well, I have lots of them.
You wouldn't be a fisherman if you didn't have
How long is this program?
Yeah. Well, I've been here since 1979. My wife and I and family moved down from Anchorage. And I grew up in Craig, so I'm pretty familiar with the Golden Horse Salmon Derby almost since its inception. You know, we've all had bad weather stories to tell about hauling boats in. Usually people are pretty good about helping out in those type of instances. I also have lots of good stories. 1 year my father-in-law placed tied for second in the Derby. That was a big one for us. But there's a lot of friends and neighbors that did well in the Derby, and you're always proud of that.
Other than the prize from Bullwinkle's, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Could I jump in and just mention the places where people can buy tickets? Because that's obviously an important part of the mechanism here. This year we have 5 ticket vendors. We have Harry's Plumbing downtown, only their downtown location, and then Western Auto Marine in Lemon Creek. And then moving further out, we have Juneau Mercantile and Armory out near the airport in the valley. And then furthest north, we have DeHart's store at Auk Bay. And then the 5th one is a new vendor this year, and it's back downtown here. Foodland IGA has agreed to sell tickets in their hardware venue there. So tickets are available there. They're on sale now. And they'll be on sale through the beginning of the Derby and during the Derby, at least in the case of a couple of the vendors. And you can pick up a copy of the brochure. If you don't get it in the Juneau Empire or the Capital City Weekly, it is available on the counter at those ticket vendors. And that has, first of all of the sponsors that have generously donated things. You can see who has been good enough to do that. And then the rules are in there, the map of the area where you're allowed to fish, and a lot of other, we think, interesting information about the scholarships and past winners and so forth.
Now, except for the Bullwinkle's Prize, which you don't have to go fishing at all to enter, what are the area? Do you have to have a boat to fish?
Yes, you must fish from the boat. That's part of the rules. That kind of sets the Salmon Derby apart a little bit. And let's see, generally, I should have been turned to this page before, but generally, if you go up Lynn Canal, St. James Bay and Point Bridget are the northern limits of the fishing area. And going south, Point Cooverton over to Lizard Head on the west side of Admiralty Island. On the east side, down Stevens Passage, you go as far down as Twin Point and Point Stileman. So it's a large area. And everybody's got their favorite spots, and depending on weather and so forth, the crowd just kind of moves around to what seems to work best.
So if you haven't got a boat, you've got about a week to look for one.
Look for a friend with a boat. That's right.
Anything you'd like to add about it, I forgot to ask?
I guess I would like to mention a couple more important supporters. Of course, Alaska Glacier Seafoods, Mike Erickson, buys our fish and gives us a good price. He also provides a lot of ice, and we spend the weekend trundling around and working with Alaska Glacier Seafoods to spot ice at the harbors so that people can keep their fish in good condition. That ice is free to the participants. Alaska Airlines has helped out with the 70 prize packages by donating a pair of round-trip tickets. That's very nice of them. They're our official airline for the Derby.
But you can't fish from the plane.
No, that would be a fast troll, no doubt. There are in-kind supporters besides the people who donate prizes themselves. We have outfits like Bobcat of Juneau that let us use a couple of forklifts for the weekend to haul ice totes around. Reliable Transfer hauls the totes out to where they're filled with ice. Dipack Hatchery has provided us with meeting rooms for all our planning and are also providing ice. So this is really a big community event where a lot of diverse merchants and individuals get together to support this. And, you know, it's fun because you can win some stuff or win some money. But also, while you're doing it, you know that you're providing scholarships to 3, 4, or 5 people a year here in Juneau, and they're good scholarships. They're big enough to make a difference.
Might mention that since its inception, Territorial Sportsman has given out $1.7 million in local scholarships, vocational scope.
Congratulations on that. All right, thanks for coming down. Ron Somerville and Matt Robus have been talking to you today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Way up north in the last frontier, the God lives forth that we love so dear. It's called combat fishing. Combat fishing. Combat fishing, and footy is mighty fine. Well, I don't know what you've been told, but
the music of Robin Hopper and friends. You're tuned into it in the afternoon. It's 22 minutes past the hour, and our next guests in the studio are Ray Vittick and Joel Webb. Thank you for coming by today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So today you're going to be talking, same thing we talked about last week, building healthy families. And this, what group is sponsoring this?
The group is Christ Community Ministries. It's an organization that facilitates events among the faith community in Juneau, among the church community. And this is, we're bringing a conference to town called Building Healthy Families with a group of experts out of Gresham, Oregon.
Who are the experts?
The experts are Dr. Tyann and Dr. Ted and Dr. Diane Roberts. They're husband and wife, and they run a ministry that prepares families to live in a culture where at times we're exposed to pornography. They have a perspective on that. They want to prepare families to ask good questions about what they want their kids to be exposed to or not. And also they have a ministry if people have been exposed and are in a place where they're addicted to it and want to get out. They are experts in that and have a great track record of successful ministry in that.
And when is the workshop schedule?
The workshop schedule is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and 2:30 to 3:30 on Sunday. The Saturday event is at Centennial Hall, It's free and open to the public, and the same thing at DZ Middle School on Sunday.
What can people expect? Ray?
Well, I believe that the whole goal of this event is empowerment. It's information and empowerment. It used to be that the in my age, if you wanted to access the things that you can get now on the Internet, you'd had to be in a liquor store and it was on the top shelf. But now the sad thing is that your five-year-old has the same access to that. And unfortunately, they aren't equipped to make good decisions, and they don't see evil that's lurking, and they respond to that in a way that is could be life-changing forever and could affect them in many sad ways. So we're here to empower parents, families. And yes, we're a church-based organization, but we're inviting the entire community of Juneau to attend because this problem affects every family and every person in town.
What are some of the solutions that are available for people?
I think there's two things, and that is one is that our city is better off having a conversation about what we desire to have the answers be in our, you know, we have a particular perspective on that as a Christian organization, and the conference will come from a Christian perspective. But some of the things that there are a lot of software out there that you can put on smartphones, you can put on your Wi-Fi routers to let the parents make educated decisions about what their kids can and can't get to. And there's also, I think, there's research that shows that sexual addiction is just like any other addiction. It affects our brains. The experts are going to talk about that. What does addiction look like? And it turns out that that the walk out of addiction is very similar to other programs that walk us out of all of the other addictions, drug addiction or alcohol addiction. But there are some specific tools and some specific patterns specific to this that these experts will be teaching to the audience through the day.
Is this something you have to go to all three workshops?
The morning workshops are going to focus on the nature of the addiction and its consequences for relationships. The afternoon workshops are going to focus on how to walk people out of it, and there'll be a question and answer session. People will be able to text in their questions, and the experts will answer those questions. And the Sunday session will kind of be a wrap-up of everything that happens on Saturday.
Well, thank you for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add? I forgot to ask.
Oh, please come. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about the next generation. And the best thing we can do for the community of Juneau is education and empowerment. Then you're making a decision based upon actual facts and figures, and you know what the cards are on the table. Our kids are way ahead of this generation, my generation, when it comes to the electronics and Internet and accessibility. And they know all the rules, and they know how to get around them. So we want to empower parents and grandparents and those of you who love your children, irregardless of the fact that this is a faith-based event, please come because you'll get empowered and you'll learn the information that you need to protect your families.
What's the phone number or website?
They can go to christ-community-ministries.org. You can also email us at bhfjuno@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Well, thanks, Jeff, for having us. Sure,
thanks,
appreciate
Jeff.
It.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 4th of August, 2016. 1830, on this date, the plans for the city of Chicago were first laid out. There was a commission was appointed to make plans for a canal to connect the Chicago, the Des Plaines rivers, lay out some surrounding streets. The surveyor, James Thompson, drew up the first map covering just about 3/8 of a square mile. The city had a population of fewer than 100 people at the time, but it was the first official recognition of the municipality of Chicago, which thrived, of course. 1848, the canal opened up a waterway from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi. First rail line came through the same year. Mail order retailers sprang up, Montgomery Ward, Sears, Roebuck, huge feedlots and slaughterhouses, and the city was on its way. It's the birthday of Louis Armstrong, 1901, in New Orleans, in a very poor neighborhood called Storyville. He sang for pennies on the streets of the city. He would scoop up the coins, stuff them in his mouth so the bigger boys couldn't steal them, and they gave him the nickname Satchel Mouth, later shortened to Satchmo. He worked for a family of Russian Jews, the Karnovskys. They were delivering coal to apartments and rooms. They were very kind to him. They helped him buy a tin trumpet. And because of the Karnovskys, Louis Armstrong wore a Star of David pendant for the rest of his life. As a teenager, he played dances and funerals and played on the riverboats. He got to play with Bix Beiderbecke and Sidney Bechet, King Oliver, who took him to Chicago in 1924, whereupon Louis Armstrong formed his own band, the Hot Five, made more than 60 records between 1925 and 1928, which influenced everybody who followed after him. It's the birthday of Percy Bysshe Shelley, born in Sussex, England, 1792. Grew up in a wealthy family, went off to Oxford. They kicked him out of school for writing risque poetry and for being an atheist, and his family cut him off financially at the age of 19. He eloped to Scotland with a 16-year-old bride. He abandoned her in favor of Mary Godwin, and they went off to Europe. When he had some very productive years, he wrote Adonis, an elegy for John Keats, and Prometheus Unbound, a drama in verse. Died before he was 30, trying to sail along the coast of Spain. Here's a poem for today by Mary Oliver, The Sweetness of Dogs. What do you say, Percy? I'm thinking of sitting out on the sand to watch the moon rise. It's full tonight. So we go, and the moon rises, so beautiful, it makes me shudder, makes me think about time and space, makes me take measure of myself, one iota pondering heaven. Thus we sit, myself thinking how grateful I am for the moon's perfect beauty, and also, oh, how rich it is to love the world. Percy, meanwhile, leans against me and gazes up into my face as though I were just as wonderful as the perfect moon. The Sweetness of Dogs, a poem by Mary Oliver from Dog Songs, published by the Penguin Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity, brain training with over 50 challenging games from scientists working with university researchers to push cognitive research forward. Learn more at lumosity.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Programming is made possible in part by Juneau's own Alaska Pure Mountain Spring Water, available in Juneau stores or delivered in 5-gallon jugs to homes and offices. 780-4262.
Our next guest in the studio is Kent Chastain. He's a photographer. He's got a show coming up at the First Friday Gallery Walk at the Juneau Artist Gallery in the Senate Building. Kent, thank you for being on the station with me today.
Thanks, Jeff. Nice to be here.
So you've been a photographer for over 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
Do you still remember your first camera?
Actually, I do. It was the old film days, and didn't really know what I was doing, but you know, it was the 70s. I think we did really fun, cool stuff in black and white and, you know, reflections and puddles and, you know, funny lines and all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, back in the, I would call those the hippie days. It was fun.
How is photography, I'm assuming you shoot digitally now.
Yeah, I do.
How has your world of photography changed with the advent of digital photography?
Well, real quick, I did a lot of the old style Ansel Adams stuff, you know, with black, shoot black and white, you process the film, you print the film, you do dodging and burning, all that kind of fun stuff. So you're sort of creating in the dark room, and I spent, you know, a gazillion hours in there. And now what's kind of fun is I don't have chemical stains on my hands, so I can do a lot of that work on the computer with Lightroom and Photoshop and, you know, toning in the skies and kind of fun stuff like that. It's great.
How much additional time do you take when you're working on a photo with digital?
Well, I have respected all the lab people that I have known in my years of all the time that they spent processing my work, because now I'm doing it, and it actually is time-consuming. My wife walked by me one day, and she said, "Do you really enjoy doing that?" And I said, "Well, actually, I do. It's fun. You know, it's honestly, back in Ground Zero, day one, I was a painter, and I loved seeing the light, and I loved capturing the light, and it inspired me, and it brought me, you know, full circle here, where I see the picture, I take it, I enjoy the light, and it's an all package deal."
You studied in Pasadena.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you can only learn through experience, and how that balanced with things that you'd only learn from books?
I do know, because I'm going to be teaching photography to some young people shortly. I think that it's good to learn good technique. Like, for example, if you play the flute, in order to do, you know, Brahms' Lullaby or something, you know, where it's soft and beautiful and flowing, you really need to learn the technique first, that you can then, you know, smooth all the edges out. So learning composition and design, exposure, depth of field, all those kind of fun things from someone that's learned is really helpful. And then from there, you kind of create your own style. You know, you start looking for yourself and seeing what you see. So it's like music. I studied music theory for, gosh, a year, and just all sorts of crazy stuff. And then I just let it go. And so, you know, when I play my flute and music, it's, you know, it just flows. Same thing with photography. Walking down in Juneau, I see the light change and it's beautiful and I see it. Drives my wife crazy when I'm driving. I'm like, look at that. And she's like, yes, okay. And I'll pull off on the side of the road. I've been honked at several times here in Juneau.
What do you look for before you even look through the viewfinder?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Why is it when I, even this morning, looking up and seeing Juneau so beautiful, seeing the clouds floating between the ridges and having the pine trees kind of sticking up through the fog and just seeing those lines and that softness, and it kind of is relating something in my soul. I'm still learning what that means, but I do know in my heart that it's something wonderful and it's majestic. And the thing about Juneau that is so amazing to me, and I've only been here about 6 months, but the light changes and it's majestic, it's moody, it's deep, it's scary. And I'm really, my job, I feel, is just to capture it and to render it. And, you know, with all the cruise ships in and the people coming, you know, they're looking for things that they've seen, like a glacier and stuff like that. My work, I think, relates more to locals because they've seen it here, but I'm capturing all the myriad of light and changes in mood, you know, that the locals can really appreciate.
Besides appreciation, what kind of experience do you want the viewer of your photos to have?
Well, I think we're making a connection, and I think that's pretty much the bottom line, is when someone looks at an art piece or a photograph, they're making a connection. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the beautiful soft light at sunset, the mood, you know, a whale spouting with, you know, the sprays backlit, and you're just, it's like a slow motion, you know, wistful image, and it touches you in a special way. Like, you don't always realize why, but it does. And so that's kind of my job, I think, is to make connections with people and what I see.
For the viewer, do you want them to have an emotional reaction, or they, do you want them to say he sure knows how to use Photoshop well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's really interesting to me is I'm getting a side job here with Juno Tours, and I'm learning about the culture. And what's kind of neat for me is learning about the culture and the climate and everything about Juno, and then have that with me as I photograph. It kind of adds a depth to the images, and I just think that it just makes it deeper for people to appreciate. And I'm just going to keep hopefully showing up at the right time. I remember just walking by my window last night, and I talk about taking the picture in pajama mode, where Juno did it again. Ok Bay was just absolutely beautiful. And, I mean, no offense, but, you know, God kind of made it beautiful, and I'm just there to capture it.
What kind of things do you like to capture?
You know, I feel bad because I'm not really into the iconic capture that you know, some of the people on the cruise ship want. I love the still, glassy Ok Bay, where it's just like super glassy, and the you know, the Chilkat Mountains are kind of coming up through the mist. And Juno completely amazes me all the time. I use neutral density filters that will allow me to do a longer exposure, so the clouds will actually move within the image. So there's a kind of a mystery and a mystique, and I try to get as much depth and insight into life through the images, that people can just look at them and go, wow, that's beautiful, and make that connection.
We have a rule here on Juno Afternoon that if you talk about something that I don't understand, you have to explain it. You talk about neutral density filters.
Oh, okay. Well, if you are out in the sunshine, your camera's going to have a certain exposure that it's going to ask you to do. So if you put like a pair of dark sunglasses over the lens, the camera's going to say, oh, it's dark outside. You need to open up the shutter and make it longer. So the neutral density filter allows you to have a longer exposure. For example, when you see a waterfall and the water looks all soft and silky, that photographer has used a neutral density filter to allow the water to be moving as the exposure stays open. It's like 1001, 1002, 1003. So you get that beautiful movement within the still image. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I love doing that kind of thing.
How many photos do you have in the show?
Right now, I've got 18 of my most favorite shots that I have just put down in the gallery today. I have some larger prints there as well. So I'm actually printing even today. I'm always, and I encourage, you know, my students that I teach, always try to keep narrowing down your favorite work. So, you know, I'm down to my favorite 18. So come out and see my favorite 18.
Kim Chastain's work will be seen at the Juno Artist Gallery in the Center Building this Friday, during First Fat Friday. Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
I just think that I really appreciate Juno in allowing me to share with you today. And I love the community here. I love this community radio where people can voice what they're feeling, what they're thinking. And I love this town. It's been a little crazy moving from Kauai to Juno, but I'm loving it. And this place just continues to amaze me. Thanks for letting me be here.
Thanks for coming by, Kent.
Thank you.
some music from the Hot Club of Cowtown. They were a guest artist here at the Alaska Folk Festival a number of years ago, and they're still performing. Nancy Turney is in the studio with me to talk about arts activities.
Boy, it's a whirlwind this time. It's First Friday, so we have all of that going on, for one thing. Over at the Jack, starting at 4:30, we have Iconic Juno Images by Alice Terstig, David Riccio, and Diane Anderson. It's a beautiful show. I always like shows with multiple artists in it, and this one is really colorful, and it's all wonderful. So that starts at 4:30, and then at 5:30, we have our Rock Around the Block party over here by the Slam. It's going to be a gorgeous day, just like this. And a couple of the members of Smoking Bill will be performing, and then they'll do about half the show, and then DJ Manu will take over, so they'll be dancing on the plaza. And then starting at 7:30, we're going to have Smoking Bill do a whole concert until into the evening, and I think Marty Wiener will be doing the opening act and DJing for the whole situation. So there's a lot of stuff happening at the Jack. I always figure if you're going to do one thing, do four. So we're doing that. And in addition to that, Sandy Mander has created this beautiful porcelain figure of a pregnant Sudanese refugee woman. And it's going to be on, you can bid on it. You can make a contribution to this particular effort and possibly win this particular beautiful piece of sculpture that Sandy's done. So stop in at the Jack and see that. At the Slam, by the way, they'll be doing it's just Shakespeare crazy over here, all around the town. They'll be doing, I think it's Macbeth on Friday night. And then if you don't have the schedule, get onto the calendar and look at it, because they're just doing every single play and it's happening all over town, and you just don't want to miss any of them, but you can't help but, I don't know how you're going to see them all, but you also want to go to the museum and see the folio that's on display. So at COPA, they've got Discovery Southeast. The explorers went out blueberry picking and making photography things that are going to be exhibited, and the blueberry ice cream will be what you get to eat. I don't know how long the ice cream's going to last, but I do know that the exhibit will be up through August. So stop in at COPA. And right next door at the Salt Cave, they're doing halo therapy sessions as a special. And then the Aurora Project showroom grand opening is happening at the Wharf. Go on down there from 4:30 till 9, and they're doing a Wharf block party. Everybody's doing block parties. You notice that? I think there's block parties over in Douglas. There's blockheads. We must all be blockheads. I don't know what's up with this. Anyway, it's a fundraiser for Trail Mix, and I think it is, I can't remember, Astronomar, I think is the...
DJ Astronomar.
Yeah, so it's going to be an exciting night. Sketch has the Chicken Show with paintings by M.K. McNaughton and Fumi Matsumoto, their little studio. They'll be at M.K.'s studio, which is in the parking lot behind Kenny's Wok and Teriyaki. So if you haven't been there, stop in there. It's going to be beautiful. It's also up through August. Annie Kales is featuring a Yukon artist, Natalie Parento, and her stuff is, I looked online, it's just beautiful. Very stylized, a little bit of anime-type stuff in it. It's really colorful and delightful, so stop in at Annie Kales. All of these places seem to be having refreshments, too, so I think we're in good shape for the evening. Our trucks will be open, of course. Walter Soboloff has Della Cheney, Fred Louth, and a salmon season special. Everything in the gift shop that has to do with salmon will be on a special discount. So, and then Della and Fred will be showing how they do their artwork. And it's free admission to the Soboloff Center or building, so good opportunity there. The Canvas has Mark Davis, Niall Johnson, and Mirav Menefee. They call themselves the Three Amigos. They have really bright and fun paintings and artwork that they've been doing, so stop in at the Canvas. And right across from the Canvas, Coconut Thai Cuisine is opening. They're having an open house from 4:30 to 7. Come and check out their new location. Complimentary Thai iced tea and a peek at the menu. So, like I said, the food's everywhere. We're going to be eating like crazy. Mountainside Wellness has an inside one-time charity indoor cycling ride to support the Susan G. Komen 3-Day Breast Cancer Walk this fall. So stop in at Mountainside Wellness and participate in that. I think it's a $25 donation. Kindred Post, having lots of fun with old LPs. Come on down, bring your LPs, and they'll be spinning them. You can enjoy your all. Who has LPs? I have a bunch.
Bring them down to the used record and CD sale this fall.
All righty then. So go on down there to Kindred Post and have a good time. I imagine they'll have refreshments, rainforest yoga. In case you're getting a little stressed out by all this, you can go have a free class with Tammy Davis at the they're upstairs in South Franklin Street. Let's see. And the Juno Artist Gallery has Kent Chastain.
Who we were just talking to.
Okay, excellent. And he is also there through August. They say great treats, so I would definitely hit that one. Bustin' Out Boutique, which is, I think, upstairs from that, is featuring the artwork by Bronze Betty Finery. It's all kinds of jewelry and sorts of things like that. Really nice. So it's really a pretty busy First Friday. And I just have to, let's just step back. Where do you want to start?
I think we should start with
the artists.
That'd be great.
The Mayor's Awards for the Arts. We just announced them. You will be able to come and see these people and celebrate them on August 19th at the Jack. It's a free event. We want everybody to come and just say thanks to all these folks for what they do in our community. And we've been giving out Mayor's Awards for 9 years. This is the 9th one. This year, Vera Starboard Bedard, who wrote Our Voices Will Be Heard, is the artist who will be honored. And I think most of you probably went to see the Perseverance play. It's getting a lot of, it really caused a lot of stir and good work. In arts and education, Jim Fowler, he recently retired after having been our after-school teacher, artist and teacher at Geneva Woods and Cedar Park for 18 years. And so we're really delighted to honor him with that for his contributions to our community. And speaking of contributions to the community, Scarlett Adam has been very, very active in the Juno Lyric Opera. She's been on their board for quite some time. She's retiring. She will still be probably appearing in some shows, but she's been really a force in the opera field. Alaska Music One, Keith Giles, a longtime supporter of the arts in Juneau. Lots of musicians and local people have had Keith come and help them out. He does sound for all kinds of concerts. Anyway, we're recognizing him as a business leader. And as an entrepreneur, Mark Kelly is being recognized for his, we call it innovative application for the arts, which is sort of an odd term, but it means taking the arts and doing something productive and unique with it. Mark's made a big impact on our community and around the world, actually, with his photography. Everybody queues up at Public Market to get the calendar. So we're recognizing Mark Kelly for his many years of bringing, my kids used to refer to a nice day as, oh, it's a Mark Kelly day. So we're recognizing that. Jeff Duvernay has been working with the Juno Dance Theater Board. He's been on the board of directors and as a volunteer for that organization for close to 20 years, probably, and really want to recognize him for, I don't know if you realize that Juno Dance Theater just went through some pretty big changes, and he helped sort of nurture that transition in a successful fashion, so we want to thank him for his efforts. And, of course, R.T. Wallen, everybody knows him as Skip. He's the guy that made the bear. He's the guy that made the bears out by Dye Pack. He's got sculptures all over the world, and his whale will be arriving in town, I think, next week, if we're lucky. So we want to recognize Skip for all of the work that he's done. He's also a real big environmentalist and has done quite a bit. You know those little eagles that sit on the bridge? When you go by, there's always the two eagles. He's the one that's responsible for making sure that those posts, those perches, are still there when they changed out. So come on out on August 19th at 5:30 and help me recognize these folks. There's something new that's happening. We are, of course, getting ready to build a building, and Mary Watson has organized a series of monthly piano concerts that will benefit the new building. The money will go towards buying a grand piano for it. So The first one will be on September 11th, and it will begin at 3 p.m. The pianists will be Mary Watsa for the September 11th one, John Hayes on October 23rd, Kyle Farley Robinson on November 27th, Doug Smith December 11th, and Sue Kazama on February 5th. So do try to take these in. These are phenomenal pianists, and I really appreciate the effort that these folks are doing for this. So I feel like there's something else I had to tell you of great import.
On Monday night, there's a concert called Trample My Turtles.
Oh, yes. And then there's Caitlin Warbelow on Tuesday night. I mean, my goodness, that's what we haven't forgotten. We haven't gotten to this. Let's go through this. Good heavens, there's Cuban salsa tonight at the Rockwell Ballroom at 5:30. There's tango dancing at 7 at the Rockwell Ballroom. Theater in the Rough is doing Two Gentlemen of Verona at the Valley Library. Let's see, there's West Coast Swing and karaoke. If you need these details, go to the Arts Council or KTOO's calendars. There is the First Folio reading again, all over the place. We just kind of mentioned all of the First Friday things, tons of stuff going on Friday night. On Saturday morning at 9 a.m., there's an upland bird hunting alpine habitat up above the Mount Roberts tram. There is Theater in the Rough is doing Henry the Fourth, Part One, Never Again Hiroshima. There is a observation of that at noon in Marine Park. Duck Derby. Do you have your Duck Derby tickets?
I see them on the posters.
Yes. Well, you can't win with a poster, so you better get a ticket. So, yeah, find your closest Rotarian and get a ticket from them. We've got Heat Wave, a summer drag soiree at the Rendezvous at 8 and then at 10 o'clock. On Sunday, we do our walking tours, and there's the Wickersham tours. On Monday, we've got the Makerspace Open. Introduction to Belly Dancing is starting, and if you're interested in that, go on to our website, and there'll be a way to find out where these are happening. Trampled by Turtles, as you mentioned, over at Centennial Hall at 10 o'clock or at 8 o'clock. You can get tickets at Foggy Mountain, at the City Museum, at the Jack, and on their website. On Tuesday, it's Caitlin Warbelow at the Rockwell Ballroom. You can get tickets in the usual places. At 4:30, there's an Ashley Swinney book signing. Let's see, there's Theater in the Rough, Anthony and Cleopatra at the U.S. Egan Library. What are we doing on Wednesday, I have to say? Alaska in the Time of Shakespeare. So they're doing little presentations. There's also Shakespeare activities for kids at 10 in the morning over at the Slam. I just have to say, Juneau's an amazing place. Not the less because of the things that you contribute. I noticed that you've caused a bit of a stir. Well, let's just leave it at that then, shall we?
Madam Secretary, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
By Trampled by Turtles.
All of us lonely, it ain't a sin. Want something better than the shape you're in. The rain came and the break. It's a broken heart.